Chapter 27, The Heart and Blood, Physiology of the Circulatory System. Perfect health depends upon perfect circulation. The more active the circulation, the more free from obstructions and impurities will be the blood. The blood nourishes the body. The health of the body depends upon healthful circulation of the blood. At every pulsation of the heart, the blood should be propelled to the extremities quickly and easily in order to have health. The current of human life is struggling to go its accustomed round and should not be hindered in its circuit through the body by the imperfect manner in which women clothe their limbs. The limbs were not formed by our Creator to endure exposure as was the face. The Lord provided the face with an immense circulation because it must be exposed. He provided also large veins and nerves for the limbs and feet to contain a large amount of the current of human life, that the limbs may be uniformly as warm as the body. The limbs and feet have large arteries to receive a large amount of blood. The warmth, nutrition, elasticity, and strength may be imparted to them. But when the blood is chilled from these extremities, their blood vessels contract, which makes the circulation of the necessary amount of blood in them still more difficult. The extremities are chilled, and the heart has thrown upon it double labor to force the blood into these chilled extremities. And when the blood has performed its circuit through the body and returned to the heart, it is not the same vigorous warm current which left it. It has been chilled in its passage through the limbs. The heart, weakened by too great labor and poor circulation of poor blood, is then compelled to still greater exertion to throw the blood to the extremities, which are never as healthy, fully warm as other parts of the body. The heart fails in its efforts and the limbs become habitually cold, and the blood which is chilled away from the extremities is thrown back upon the lungs and brain, and inflammation and congestion of the lungs or the brain is the result. The nerves control the circulation of the blood. For instance, you are impressed that if you bathe, you will become chilly. The brain sends this intelligence to the nerves of the body, and the blood vessels held in obedience to your will cannot perform their office and cause a reaction after the bath. You have a determined will which causes the mind to react upon the body, unbalancing the circulation and producing congestion in certain organs, and you are sacrificing health to your feelings. The exercise of the brain in study without corresponding physical exercise has a tendency to attract the blood to the brain, and the circulation of the blood through the system becomes unbalanced. The brain has too much blood and the extremities too little. Causes of diseases of the blood in circulation. Those who are not in health have impurities of the blood. A bad circulation leaves the blood to become impure, induces congestion of the brain and lungs, and causes diseases of the heart, the liver, and the lungs. By interrupting the circulation of the blood, the entire system is deranged. The chief, if not the only reason why many become invalids is that the blood does not circulate freely, and the changes in the vital fluid which are necessary to life and health do not take place. They have not given their bodies exercise, nor their lungs food, which is pure fresh air. Therefore, it is impossible for the blood to be vitalized, and it pursues its course sluggishly through the system. Foul blood will surely becloud the moral and intellectual powers and arouse and strengthen the baser passions of your nature. Flesh meats, butter, cheese, rich pastries, spiced foods, and condiments are freely partaken of by both old and young. The blood-making organs cannot convert such things into good blood. In order to make a good quality of blood, you must have the right kind of food prepared in a right manner. A poor quality of food cooked in an improper manner and insufficient in quantity cannot make good blood. Flesh meats and rich food and an impoverished diet will produce the same results. Anything which is taken into the stomach and converted into blood becomes a part of the being. Children should not be allowed to eat gross articles of food such as pork, sausage, spices, rich cakes, and pastry, for by so doing their blood becomes fevered, the nervous system unduly excited, and the morals are in danger of being affected. Indulging in eating too frequently and of too large quantities overtaxes the digestive organs and produces a feverish state of the system. The blood becomes impure and then diseases of various kinds follow. Catarrhal difficulties, kidney disease, headache, and heart troubles are the result of immoderate eating. Your health is greatly injured by overeating and eating at improper times. This causes a determination of the blood to the brain. You are in danger of apoplexy, and if you continue to disobey the laws of health, your life will be cut short suddenly. The liver becomes burdened and unable to throw off the impurities in the blood, and sickness is the result. While fever is raging, food may irritate and excite the blood, but as soon as the strength of the fever is broken, nourishment should be given in a careful, judicious manner. Flesh meats will depreciate the blood. Cook meat with spices and eat it with rich cakes and pies, and you will have a bad quality of blood. The system is too heavily taxed in disposing of this kind of food. The eating of flesh meats has made a poor quality of blood and flesh. Your systems are in a state of inflammation, prepared to take on disease. You are liable to acute attacks of disease and to sudden death because you do not possess the strength of constitution to rally and resist disease. When we eat on flesh, the juices of what we eat pass into the circulation. Thus a feverish condition is created because the animals are diseased, and we plant the seeds of disease in our own tissue and blood. Subsisting mostly on highly seasoned animal food produces a feverish state of the system, especially if pork is freely used. The blood becomes impure, the circulation is not equalized. Pork, although one of the most common articles of diet, is one of the most injurious. God did not prohibit the Hebrews from eating swine's flesh merely to show his authority, but because it was not a proper article of food for man. It would fill the system with scrofula, and especially in that warm climate, produce leprosy and disease of various kinds. Swine's flesh, above all other flesh meats, produces a bad state of the blood. It is impossible for the flesh of any living creature to be healthy when filth is its natural element and when it feeds upon every detestable thing. The flesh of swine is composed of what they eat. If human beings eat their flesh, their blood and their flesh will be corrupted by impurities conveyed to them through the swine. Cancers, tumors, and inflammatory diseases are largely caused by meat eating. Flesh diet cannot make good blood. If the lungs are restricted, the quantity of oxygen received into them is also limited. The blood becomes vitiated and disease follows. For fear of taking cold, they persist from year to year, living in an atmosphere almost destitute of vitality. It is impossible for this class to have a healthy circulation. Such can test the matter and be convinced of the unhealthy air in their close rooms by entering them after they have remained a while in the open air. Then they can have some idea of the impurities they have conveyed to the blood through the inhalation of the lungs. By inhaling the impure air, the blood is poisoned, the lungs become affected, and the whole system is diseased. Inaction of any of the organs of the body will be followed by decrease in size and strength of the muscles, and will cause the blood to flow sluggishly through the blood vessels. The blood is not enabled to expel the impurities as it would if active circulation were induced by exercise. The exercise of the brain in study without corresponding physical exercise has a tendency to attract the blood to the brain, and the circulation of the blood through the system becomes unbalanced. Parents who dress their children with their extremities naked, or nearly so, are sacrificing the life and health of their children to fashion. If these parts are not so warm as the body, the circulation is not equalized. The blood is driven to the head, causing headache or nosebleed, or there is a sense of fullness about the chest, producing cough or palpitation of the heart on account of too much blood in that locality, or the stomach has too much blood, causing indigestion. The blood is chilled back from its natural course and thrown upon the internal organs, breaking up the circulation and producing disease. Look at the tight-fitting waists of the dresses of these children. It is impossible for their lungs to have full action. The heart and liver cannot do their work thus compressed. Look at their limbs, unclad except by the slight covering of cotton stockings. The air chills the limbs, the life current is driven back from its natural course, and the limbs are robbed of their proportion of blood. The blood which should be induced to the extremities by their being properly clad is thrown back upon the internal organs. There is too much blood in the head. The lungs are congested or the liver is burdened. By interrupting the circulation of the blood, the entire system is deranged. The artificial hair and pads covering the base of the brain heat and excite the spinal nerves centering in the brain. The head should ever be kept cool. The heat caused by these artificial coverings induces the blood to the brain. The action of the blood upon the lower or animal organs of the brain causes unnatural activity, tends to recklessness in morals, and the mind and heart are in danger of being corrupted. The impurities of the body, if not allowed to escape, are taken back into the blood and forced into the internal organs. From the food the mother was compelled to receive, she could not furnish a good quality of blood, therefore gave birth to children filled with humors. The disease which the drug was given to cure may disappear, but only to reappear in a new form, such as skin diseases, ulcers, painful diseased joints, and sometimes in a more dangerous and deadly form. The liver, heart, and brain are frequently affected by drugs, and often all these organs are burdened with disease. These organs, which should be in a healthy condition, are enfeebled and the blood becomes impure. How improved? The more we exercise, the better will be the circulation of the blood. Those who accustom themselves to proper exercise in the open air will generally have a good and vigorous circulation. Brisk, yet not violent exercise in the open air with cheerfulness of spirits will promote both the circulation, giving a healthy glow to the skin and sending the blood vitalized by the pure air to the extremities. There is no exercise that can take the place of walking. By it, the circulation of the blood is greatly improved. Physical labor, a diversion from mental, will draw the blood from the brain. The circulation of the blood will be better equalized. In order to have good blood, we must breathe well. The influence of pure fresh air is to cause the blood to circulate healthfully through the system. The chief, if not the only reason why many become invalids is that the blood does not circulate freely, and the changes in the vital fluid which are necessary to life and health do not take place. They have not given their bodies exercise nor their lungs food, which is pure fresh air. Therefore, it is impossible for the blood to be vitalized, and it pursues its course sluggishly through the system. Pure water to drink and fresh air to breathe invigorate the vital organs, purify the blood, and help nature in her task of overcoming the bad conditions of the system. Water is the best liquid possible to cleanse the tissues. To secure a good circulation of the current of human life, all parts of the body must be suitably clad. Bathing frees the skin from the accumulation of impurities which are constantly collecting and keeps the skin moist and supple, thereby increasing and equalizing the circulation. A bath properly taken fortifies against cold because the circulation is improved, for the blood is brought to the surface and a more easy and regular flow of the blood through all the blood vessels is obtained.